Well, hey, why don't you help me welcome our guest speaker today, Nico Williams.
Good morning, Redemption Church. Like you said, my name is Nico Williams. I get the opportunity to plant Greenhouse Church later this fall. But before I jump in, I do want to take some time to say thank you to my team. Can y'all just wave your hands if you're a part of Greenhouse Church team? Can y'all give them a round of applause? They drove 2 hours to come and be here with me, and I'm so grateful for that. I'm also grateful and glad to be here at Redemption Church this morning. My heart is tied to this church in so many different ways. I remember when this church was meeting in the basement of a YMCA, I got a chance to participate with you guys in that time period. It was a rough period. It was COVID, and God saw us through then. But then a couple of years, maybe a year or so later, Pastor Carter invited me to come and preach when you guys were meeting at a movie theater, and that was incredible. And then a year later, I got an opportunity to preach at the Scottish Rite building. And so it's just been really cool to finally be here in this moment as a picture of God's faithfulness and his grace. When I look at this place, this beautiful place and your awesome faces, it's a picture of God's faithfulness and it's a picture of God's grace. I also want to say thank you, Redemption Church, because you guys are partnering with me and the other members of my team to help us plant Greenhouse Church in Greensboro, North Carolina this fall, in September, as a matter of fact. I'm incredibly grateful. It's because of you and your generosity and your partnership that together we get to expand God's kingdom in Greensboro, North Carolina. Now, I know I'm nowhere near the Apostle Paul, but when he expresses his gratitude, he lays it on thick. And so I thought I would use some of his words to express my gratitude to you. This is what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting at verse 10. It says, "He who supplies the sower, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness." Verse 11 says, "You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God." Yeah, what Paul is saying here is that in a very fancy way, God will multiply your generosity to increase the generosity of others. He's saying it's going to increase a harvest of righteousness. He says that because of your gift, you will be enriched in generosity in every way to continue to be generous in every way. And as a result, it will produce thankfulness to God. You know, I'm really believing that because of your partnership, man, people will walk in the doors of Greenhouse Church and they will get saved and they will be thankful to God because of your gift. I believe that the same people will connect to a small group and they will begin to be poured into by godly community and they will begin to express thankfulness to God because of your generosity. I'm believing that those same people who've been in the group for some time would feel the call to step up and maybe lead the group to create the environment for the same thing that happened to them to happen again and again and again. And hopefully, prayerfully, through that process, we might see somebody who was not saved raise their hand and say, "I want to go to the nations. I want to plant a church myself." And it will all be because of your generosity, and there will produce thankfulness to God. That's not the only result. Paul says that a result not only of your faithfulness, but it will also increase a harvest of righteousness. You yourselves will increase in a harvest of righteousness, which is an incredible segue to the passage of scripture we're going to study this morning. You can turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15. Our main idea for this morning is that being with Jesus leads to fruit-bearing disciples. Being with Jesus leads to fruit-bearing disciples. Just like your generosity will reap a harvest, the time that you spend with Jesus will reap a harvest of spiritual fruit. The reason we're going to study John 15 this morning is because it's a foundational passage for Greenhouse Church. So let's go there together. John 15, starting at verse 1, it says this. Jesus is talking. He says, "I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser." It's a fancy word for gardener. "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Remember this morning, our big idea for today is being with Jesus leads to fruit-bearing disciples. Will you go to God in prayer with me? Heavenly Father, I love you and I need you. God, as I was reading in Psalm 63 this morning, my soul thirsts for you. God, I pray that as we seek you and your word this morning, you would meet us. You would pour out your spirit. It would overflow through the pages of your word. Hallelujah. Lord, would you open up people's ears so that they could hear what you've done in Jesus Christ? Lord, would you open up people's eyes so that they could see what you have done in Jesus Christ? Father, would you open up people's hearts so that they could experience, maybe even for the first time today, what you have done in Jesus Christ? Would you help us to be fruit-bearing disciples? I pray these things in your name. Amen. So we just read a mouthful, okay? The prominent image that Jesus wants to share with us has four parts or four elements. The first part is that it talks about Jesus being the vine. The second part is the Father being the vine dresser or the gardener. The third part is that the disciples are the branches. And the fourth part is that those branches produce fruit. I hope you can wrap your mind around this illustration because it's just a very simple way of understanding God's process for growing and maintaining a relationship with Jesus. I hope you guys picked up on this. What was the one word that was overwhelmingly present in that passage? Shout it out. Abide. That's good, but you guys didn't follow instructions. Somebody said it, but nobody shouted it. So I'm just saying one more time. What was the one word that was overwhelmingly present in this passage? Somebody shout it out. Abide. Thank you. Thank you. So this word, though, abide, is not a word that we use in our everyday language, okay? It's used 8 times in this passage, and if you back up to verse 17, it's used 11 times, so we know it's important. Again, it's not one of those words that we normally use, but the only time I can remember somebody saying it was in the context of like my parents or like a teacher. They'd say, if you're going to be in my house, you're going to be in my classroom, you will abide by my rules. But that's not the way Jesus uses this word in this passage. See, in the context of a teacher or a parent, they're talking about it in the context of submission to authority. And yes, Jesus is an authority that we must submit to, we should submit to, but Jesus is talking about a withness here. He's talking about a nature of a relationship that is just a good relationship. You know, check out the way he uses it. In verse 4, he says, abide in me and I in you. He says, whoever abides in me and I in him. Verse 7 says, if you abide in me and I abide in my words abide in you. Verse 10 says, if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. Yo, Jesus is trying to help us to see it's not a submission thing in this particular context. It's a withness. It's kind of like those relationships that you have, be it a marriage or friendship, where you don't feel the need to fill it up with empty words. You can just be with them. You can sit in a room and just be together. This is what Jesus is getting at. You know, as I was preparing for this message, I was reading a book that was just talking about the importance of just being with God in prayer. You know, a lot of times we feel the need to fill up that time with our words, the things that we need from God or the ways that we want to adore him and worship and praise. But this book just reminded me of the importance of just sitting in silence with God, not needing to say anything, not needing to hear anything from God, but just being with him. You know, another way that we can think of this word abide, it comes from the same word, root of the word abode. You know, I've heard that word used in movies and television, and somebody would invite somebody to their house and they'd say, hey, welcome to my humble abode. What they're saying is, this is more than a house. This is my home. I might go away to work, but I'm going to return to this place. I might go out for fun on a date or something, but I'm going to return back to this place. When I'm tired, I'm going to rest my head here. My children are going to grow here. The idea of abiding with Jesus is being with him. It's returning to him. It's growing up in him. So this is the idea that I want you to have when you see the word abide. It's a withness. It's a being with. And so, y'all, that leads us to point number one. Being with Jesus is a position, a posture, and a practice. Being with Jesus is a position, a posture, and a practice. Let me break these words down, okay? Being with Jesus is a position. Everybody say position. What I mean by this is you're either positioned near him or you're positioned far off. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, if you are in sin, your sin has separated you from God, and so you are far off, but the blood of Christ has brought you near. When you trust that what God has done on your behalf counts for you, when he died on the cross, he was dying on behalf of your sins. He was paying the penalty that you owed. When you trust that, the Bible says, essentially, you step through a portal, and where you were far off, you have been brought near. Abiding with Jesus is a positional thing. You're either far off or you're near. And if you are in Christ, if you trust Jesus, the blood of Christ has brought you near. I hope you understand this. Just another way to get at the same idea. It's not about what you do. It's not about what you've done. Verse 3, he reminded us, Jesus says, you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Just like you guys are sitting here now, what do you have to do to hear my voice? You just have to receive it. Jesus is saying, I am making you clean because of the word I've spoken to you and over you. It doesn't matter what you bring into this moment. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what's been done to you. The powerful word of God says that you have been made clean. Jesus' word has definitive cleansing power. And all you got to do is trust in it. Being with Jesus is a position. And then the question that I got to ask you, Redemption Church, if we know that this word purifies, how often are you getting around and in that cleansing word? See, because if our position is given to us by a powerful word, we ought to live in it. We ought to return to it. We ought to rest in it. Being with Jesus is a position. You're either far off or you've been brought near. The question that you got to wrestle with is, where are you? The second thing being with Jesus means that it's a posture. Everybody say posture. If position is location, a posture is a pose. Since we're brought near to God through Jesus, my posture or my pose, the pose is my heart, the posture my heart takes when I'm near to Jesus. Look back with me in verses 4 and 5. He says this, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot, everybody say cannot, bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Everybody say nothing. Jesus tells us that as disciples of Christ, in no uncertain terms, that a branch will not bear fruit unless it abides in the vine. It cannot do anything. It's a kind of dependence here. It doesn't mean that you are unable to do things in this world. It doesn't even mean you're unable to do good things in this world. Some of the best people I know, they are not followers of Jesus, and they do a whole lot of good in the world. But what Jesus is saying here is that when you rely on Jesus, you begin to produce a fruit that lasts. If you're an unbeliever and you're wondering about some of these things, I would just say, put it to the test. See what happens when you follow God's way and do things God's way. You begin to see some lasting change and some lasting impact. Now, it doesn't happen all at once. I heard a quote that says, it happens gradually and then suddenly. If you're an unbeliever, I just want to call you to just to try this. You know, we're talking about a posture, talking about a pose. I'm sure you guys have heard this before. Maybe even Pastor Carter has explained it like this. Like, I'm standing here right now on my own 2 feet. It's requiring my own energy, my own body's resources to support me. But if I sit down in a chair, I'm resting my weight in the chair and I'm trusting the chair to hold me up. This is what it means to abide and depend on Jesus. What we're saying is, Jesus, because of what you have done, you are the one that is holding me up in your righteousness. It's not about what I'm doing. It's not about the things that I've said or done. I'm trusting that what you have done, the perfect life you've lived and died for me, it counts for me. And so now I rely on you and I trust in you for my spiritual well-being. This is what it means. This is the posture. This is the pose. It's a marker of reliance. It's a marker of dependence. Last way I want to talk about being with Jesus is the practice. Everybody say practice. Being with Jesus is just as much about being in relationship with him as it is the habits that you cultivate in your life. Look with me again in verse 10. Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I hope you can see the connection here. Jesus says that keeping his commandments or obeying what he says, that is the means by which he gives for us to abide in his love. Now, again, it's worth making the distinction between abiding by his commandments and abiding in his love. Jesus says that the pathway toward abiding in his love or being in his love is his commandments. I think sometimes we can get it confused, like I have to earn God's love. If I obey God, then he'll love me. No. Jesus is saying, hey, the way that you experience the love of God is by doing his commandments. The love is free, but you get to experience it by living in it. I just recently had a kid and he's a year and a half old. And at this moment, he's at that point where he can understand. You know, don't do this. His name's Ruach. It means the spirit of God. Ruach Isaac, which actually roughly translates to the spirit of laughter. And that boy is a laughing little kid, and I love it. But he's also a sinner, okay? So I'll say, hey, Ruach, don't do that. I was talking to my wife about it earlier. She said they were walking down the sidewalk, and they were going this way. And she says, Ruach, we're going this way. And he goes, he just starts creeping backwards. Nobody teach him that. But because we love our son, we give him instructions for him to follow. Because we want him to thrive and be healthy in this world. Our love is a given. But if he wants to experience the health of this world, the way for him to do that is to listen. For the follower of Christ, for the non-believer, the means by which you experience the love of God is through obedience. Again, if you're not a believer and you're here and you're just checking some things out, listen, if you want your life to change, just do what God's word says. Like if you really want your life to be different, whether or not you believe it, just put it to the test. Just do what God's word says and see what happens. You know, I'll give you another example. Generosity is an example here. When God's word says, all right, we need to live on 90%. So tithing being a floor, just give 10% of your money to God's people. It teaches us the biblical principle of living on less than we make. That's just good wisdom. If you start to live by God's word, your life will change just by the mere fact of you practicing obedience. And you got to practice it. It's not easy. It doesn't always come naturally. Just like a toddler has to practice tying their shoes or a basketball player has to practice his free throw, a disciple of Christ practices making a habit out of obeying God's word. If you're listening under the sound of my voice and you call Redemption Church your home, the question that you need to ponder and ask is like, hey, am I in a position to be obedient to God's word? One of the easiest environments to practice God's word is a small group. If you're not in a small group, you should get into a small group. And I love the way God he sets up this community, because what ends up happening is two things. When you're in a small group, you begin to see an example and you begin to receive encouragement. When you get in a group, you see an example of godly living. You begin to see people doing things and living life according to God's word and his way. And they don't get it perfect all the time. Neither will you. But you just see an example of godly living, of godly marriage, of godly finances. And you can say, hey, this is a way that I can live. The second thing that godly community does is it provides encouragement. Y'all, there's going to come a day when you are at a low, whether something has happened to you or something you chose, the people in your life, they're going to come around you and they're going to speak God's word into your life and they're going to encourage you. It's important for you to be in the environment for you to practice God's word, because there's going to come a time where you get to be the example and you get to be the encourager. Practice God's word. Make a habit out of practicing God's word. This is one of the ways that you abide. The pathway to experiencing the love that is freely given is by living out God's word, keeping his commandments. Being with Jesus is a posture, a position, and a practice. But that's not all. That leads me to point number two. Fruit-bearing disciples are the result of relationship. Everybody say relationship. This side of the room is real strong. That's all I'm saying. If it was a competition, y'all be losing, but it's not. In our passage, the most used word was abide. But the second most used word is actually a tie for two words, branch and fruit. You know what that tells me? That tells me first, the most important thing is being with Jesus, abiding with him, relying on him, trusting him, and just being with him. But the second most important thing in this passage is that the disciples bear fruit. The disciples live in such a way where their life changes and the world recognizes it. So what is fruit? Fruit is the spiritual and physical good as a result of time spent with Jesus. See, when you grow in patience, see, what happens is you spend time with Jesus and you begin to realize how patient he has been with you. And then you begin to be more patient towards others. That's spiritual fruit. When you pull your neighbor's trash to the side of the road because you notice that they've forgotten, y'all, that's spiritual fruit. When you look in God's word and you apply it, that's spiritual fruit. When the person that you've been praying for walks in here on Easter Sunday and they get saved and baptized, y'all, that is spiritual fruit. Really, what I'm trying to say is anything that happens in your life as a result of being with Jesus, that is spiritual fruit. I've already showed you my cards here, though. Jesus told us in verses 4 and 5, you don't get fruit unless you abide, unless you are first simply in relationship with him. So we got to ask the question, and I hope you're ready for it. Redemption Church, are you bearing fruit? I'll ask the same question a different way. Is your life different because of your relationship with Jesus? I had a buddy who told me his salvation story, or part of it, recently. He said he was at a party. He was in college. He was at a party on a Saturday night, and he meets some people, and they become buddies pretty quickly. And those buddies say, hey, we're going to go hiking tomorrow morning. Would you like to go with us? And the guy goes, no, I think I'm going to go to church. And those guys, they chuckle a little bit, and they say, huh, you're a Christian? He said it was one of those moments where the Holy Spirit just kind of shines a light on him and says, nobody knows that I follow Jesus. Nobody can look into my life and definitively say, I am a Christian. You know, I went to school in North Carolina A&T in Greensboro, and I went and I studied theater. And one of the things that they train you to do is when you get a role, a character, you look at the whole script and you look at your character and you see what they say, you see what they do. What you're trying to do is you're trying to figure out their motivation. You're trying to figure out, what do they desire? Because whether or not they're a good person or a bad person in the play, you got to portray them honestly. And so if somebody looked at the play of your life, based off of the words you say and the things that you've done, would somebody look at you and say, the motivation of this person is the glory of Christ? It starts with being with Jesus. Earlier in the passage, Jesus says there's a kind of branch that is connected to the vine that's not producing fruit. And he says that the gardener, our Father, takes that branch away. Redemption Church, what this means is that everyone who says they're with Jesus is not actually with Jesus. And I don't say that to scare you, but it is in God's word for a reason. Listen, you can be confident that if you're in Jesus, he will never let you go. Philippians 1:6 says, for I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in me will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. You can be confident of that. This is not a question of whether or not you can lose your salvation, but I want you to know it is a reality check. You know, elsewhere in the gospel, Jesus tells this parable of the different kinds of soils that receive the seed of God. Of the four kinds of soil, only one kind produced the fruit that lasts. Here's something that should comfort you. If you're hearing this and you're wondering whether or not you're producing fruit, you shouldn't be worried. That means that the Spirit of God is moving. He's doing something in you. He's leading you. He's challenging you. The person to be worried is the person who says, I'm a Christian. I go to church. I serve sometimes. That's the extent of your Christianity. If you look at your life and you're kind of like my friend who realized nobody who could tell he was a Christian, one of two things need to happen. A, you need to come to Christ. You need to trust in him for salvation. Or B, you need to be with him in such a way that your life will produce fruit. One of the things that happens, this is really cool. I love this about our God. He says, if you abide in me, you're going to produce fruit. If you're with Jesus, your life is going to change. And when your life starts changing, you're going to be like, oh, I want more of that. And so you're going to be in love with Jesus. You're going to want to be with Jesus more. And the more you're with Jesus, the more fruit it's going to produce. And the more fruit it's going to produce, the more you're going to want to be with Jesus. Our big idea for today is that being with Jesus leads to fruit-bearing disciples. If you're going to bear fruit and it lasts, it will be because you spent time with Jesus and he changed you. So here's our application for today. And it's pretty complicated. Y'all can read it here. It's pretty complicated. You're going to need at least 3 degrees to really understand it, okay? Be with Jesus and bear fruit. I told you it's complicated. We're going to walk with you. I'm just kidding. No, it's very simple. I think it's the main idea of this passage, and I think it's the thing that we're supposed to walk away with. Be with Jesus and bear fruit. Be with him in such a way that your life changes and you start bearing fruit in the world. When we look at this text, I hope that you're called, you're drawn to this idea of just spending time with him. There are a ton of ways you can apply being with Jesus and bearing fruit. I'm going to give you a couple of examples, but I also want to leave room for the Holy Spirit to do the things that only the Holy Spirit can do. Let's talk about being with Jesus for a second. Is your position with Jesus or is it far off? I think sometimes we feel like in our sin, we are far from Jesus. But you need to know that if you are in Jesus, if you have trusted in Jesus, it doesn't matter what sins you commit, you are with Jesus. We think that, I love our God. I feel this. When I sin against God, I feel like there's distance between him and me. And so I wait. I spend some time waiting before I come back to him in prayer and Bible study. Because I just feel like when I'm mad at somebody, I'm like, just give me a little space. And so I begin to treat God the way I treat other people, which is actually a form of works-based righteousness. God, if I just wait, if I just give you enough space, you're going to be all right with me. And what Jesus is saying, I have died to bring you near. All you got to do is trust that what I have done on the cross, it counts for you. It covers your sin. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what's been done to you. Doesn't matter what you said. Doesn't matter what you did. Doesn't matter your thoughts. He's saying, I died for that sin. So come and be with me. You don't need anything else. Maybe you're in the room today and you know, I've never placed my faith in Jesus. I know I'm far from him. I came this morning because I feel far from him. The best news about this message is that when you were far off, Jesus came running to you. If you want to experience the truth and freedom of Jesus Christ, all you got to do is receive it. Now, there is an element of practice. He says, but listen, I'm going to worry about that. Just come to me. Just come. We're going to take care of that. Sometimes we think we got to get it together. We got to figure it out. Jesus is like, listen, just come to me. We're going to work all that out together. If that's you, there's a baptism card on your seat. And we want you to fill it out. The Bible says that when you come to Jesus, when you accept Jesus, you place your faith in him, one of the very next steps that you should take is baptism. Because what that says to the world is, Jesus, I'm with him. That guy, that Savior, that perfect Son of God, that Lamb of God who died on the cross for my sins, I am with him. And so if that's you, I want to encourage you to fill that out. Some of the leadership team at Redemption Church, when you turn that in, it's going to trigger a conversation. They want to talk to you. They want to celebrate with you about one of the most important steps that you will ever take is accepting Jesus. And when they ask you, why do you want to be baptized? Why do you want to place faith in Jesus? Your answer should simply be, I want to be with Jesus. I want to be with him. I want to be covered by his blood so that I might be set free and made new. Now, if you're here and you already consider yourself a follower of Jesus, here are a couple of other ways that you should be with him. Are you prioritizing your time and your word with him? Are you prioritizing your time here with the people of God and worshiping him? Listen, I'm not saying this to judge anybody. I don't want to create any guilt or condemnation. This is more like a checkup. He just wants to be with you. And depending on the seasons of your life, it's going to look different. You got kids, you're not going to be able to spend hours and hours in prayer and Bible study. I tell our team all the time, you got to do whatever it takes for you to win. If in this season of your life, what it means to be with Jesus is to just have scripture playing, play it. He just wants to be with you. And you're like, but Nico, I'm not even listening. It doesn't matter. Just play it. Maybe you just need to tithe the first minutes of your car ride to just being with Jesus in silence. I don't know what it means. I just want to call you to figure out how can you put God and his word and practicing obedience to God first and fitting everything else in your life around that. You know, when I was growing up, my dad, whenever we would go on vacation, my dad would always take us to church. No matter where we were in the world, we would always find a church and go. He said this, and it's always stuck with me. He says, I'm going to church because God has a word that he crafted just for me. I'm going to be in the house of God because God has something to say to me. He's using that pastor and that word, and he's crafted a word just for me. And so I'm going no matter what. I would encourage you to have a similar heart posture. If you're in town, you should be here. And if you're not in town, you should be at one of the houses of God, wherever you are. Because what we're trying to do is we're trying to prioritize simply being with Jesus. Let's talk about bearing fruit real quick. Take a minute and just ask this question. Is your life, your entire life, lined up with God's word? Are there areas in your life where you know God's word says to start or to stop and you have simply been disobedient? Whether that's with your finances or your generosity or serving or being on mission, what are the ways that the Spirit of God is leading you to bear fruit in this world? You know, one of the most fruitful opportunities that our culture has for making a gospel impact is next weekend, Easter. Have you been intentional about praying with and praying for and inviting somebody to come and worship here at Easter? You just never know what an invitation could do for someone and change their life. One of the things I always say is an invitation has three things. It has a time, it has a place, and it has a date. If it doesn't have any of those things, it's just an announcement. If you get a picture from somebody, a couple that's engaged in your life, and they send you a picture in the mail, and it says, we're getting married, and there's no time, date, or place, that's an announcement, and you aren't invited. They just want your money. I'm just kidding. I want to encourage you to step into the mission of God. Bear fruit in the world in this way by being intentional to ask. Invite someone to come to Redemption Church Roanoke next Sunday at either 9:15 or 11. That's an invitation. An invitation makes someone say yes or no. Be bold. Some of you have done that. It's time for you to share your story, to share the gospel. To bear fruit in the world by being bold to have those spiritual conversations. Pastor Michael, he also let me know that there are two mission trips coming up that you can sign up for. Maybe God is leading you to give up some of your vacation days so that you can be solely focused on receiving from God and giving away your life and your time and your energy to someone else. Raise the money, take the time off, and be focused on gospel impact and gospel fruit. I also want to challenge you in one other big way. You know what's interesting about our application, being with Jesus and bearing fruit, is actually the mission statement of Greenhouse Church. Be with Jesus and bear fruit. Greenhouse Church exists to be with Jesus and bear fruit. And I want to challenge you to consider moving your life to Greensboro, North Carolina to help us expand the gospel, expand the kingdom of God in Greensboro, North Carolina. Would you consider this? Listen, I don't want to make anybody make a rash decision, okay? Listen, that's between you and God. But I think you should consider it. I know what you're probably thinking. You're probably thinking to yourself, Nico, but I got a house here. I got a job. My kids got school and they got sports. And guess what? Greensboro has houses. Greensboro has jobs. Greensboro has schools and Greensboro has sports. I don't want to push you into making a rash decision. I just want you to consider it. Not just Greenhouse Church, but whatever the Spirit of God has put on your heart. The question that I want to put before you is like, hey, if God would lead you in a certain direction to do a certain thing, are you in a position where your heart would say yes? I'm reminded of a passage in scripture where the Bible calls this a rich man, a rich ruler. He comes up to Jesus and he says, Jesus, what must I do to receive eternal life? And Jesus says, what did the scripture say? How do you read it? And the man says, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and you should love your neighbor as yourself. This is Jesus' direct teaching. He's been following Jesus. And Jesus says, there's one thing you lack. Now, this is interesting to me because this man, the Bible calls him a rich man, and he's been following the teachings of Jesus, and he says, hey, I've been doing these things that the Bible says I should do. He's got a lot of the right things in the right places. Like, he's been obedient to the scriptures. He's got a lot of money. He's got wealth. And Jesus looks at him, and he says, hey, there's something that you still lack. Say all you have, give to the poor, and follow me. And this young man, he comes to this moment where Jesus is leading him to do something very specific, and he has decided in his heart, I will not do it. And he walks away sad. I would hate for any of you to come to a moment where the Spirit of God is leading you to do something specific, to be with Jesus and to bear fruit in the world, and you decide in your heart, I hear you, but I won't do it. And this man walked away sad. I hope you saw in the text in verse 11, Jesus says that I've come that you might have my joy and that your joy may be full. Don't be like this rich man who walked away sad. Be the disciple who has the fullness of joy because they have spent time with Jesus and they bear fruit in the world. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your goodness, your kindness, your faithfulness. You've been so, so good, Lord. God, I thank you for Redemption Church. God, I just pray for this church. I pray for the disciples in this church that they would be with you in real ways, Lord Jesus. So much so that their hearts begin to change and their actions begin to change. So much so that the Roanoke City will look in on Redemption Church and say, there are some disciples of Jesus Christ here. The Spirit of God is moving powerfully amongst those people. They love him and I know it. Lord, I pray that that would be the truth at Redemption Church. God, would you help your people to be with you and bear fruit in the world? God, I pray against the heart that says, I hear your word and I won't do it. God, I pray that you would begin the process of softening hearts right now in such a way where there would be an unequivocal yes to whatever you're saying to do, wherever you're telling me to go, whoever you're asking me to pray for or invite to church or to give. God, I pray that there would be an unequivocal yes because we love you, Lord. Because we want to be with you. We want to experience your love. Lord, would you do it in an incredible way? Would you show up in our hearts right now, Lord Jesus? Would you break away the crustiness of sin in our hearts? Would you break away the stubbornness and the hard-heartedness? God, would you help us to see you high and lifted up? And we would give you everything because you are worthy and you deserve all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. Help us to be fruit-bearing disciples. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening with us today. We hope that it was an encouragement to you. But you know, we don't see this as a replacement for gathering with other believers in a local church context. So if you don't have a local church, we would encourage you to plug in with one wherever you are. And if you're in Roanoke, Virginia, we'd love to invite you to plug in with us here at Redemption Church. And you're welcome anytime to gather with us, but you can check us out online at our website, redemptionroanoke.com. You can look for other content or resources there. But thanks again for listening.